turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. So I've got a New Year's sermon for you, okay? I initially thought about resolution and goals and blah, 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 and all that stuff, because that's what everyone's talking about right now. But I think there's something more important than our goals and our resolutions and our checklists. Although we all have things to accomplish, I think the most important thing that you and I can do as men and women this year is to grow closer to the Word of God. Wherever you are right now, to grow in the knowledge of that. Some of us know this much right now. Some of us is this much, and some of us is, some of us think we're this much, right? So all of us have a level of knowledge of the Word of God. And my prayer and hope for this group of people is that we will individually grow in our own understanding and knowledge of the very words of God. And I want to start here in Psalm 119 because how many of you have read Psalm 119 before? Okay, that's a good one. Just a little bit of background about Psalm 119. Okay, first of all, there are 176 verses. It is what's known as an acrostic poem, which means that basically there are 22 stanzas or 22 sections of this psalm, and each one of them begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we have 26 characters in our alphabet. Imagine if you wrote a poem to God, and you started off with a stanza that began with the letter A, and then you did 8 verses, and then you went down and you went letter B, and then C, and all the way through the alphabet. That is what you're looking at when you look at Psalm 119. It is every little section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all through the 22 characters. 22 times 8, 176 verses, so it's a lot. That's actually more than 14 of the Old Testament books. So just this psalm has more verses than 14 Old Testament books and a good deal of the New Testament. So if you just wanted to study a good section, this is a great place to start. Okay? 25 times the word law is written. 24 times the word of God is spoken about. 23 times the judgment of God. 23 times the testimony of God. 22 times the commands of God. 21 times the statutes of God, the precepts of God. Ever thought about the difference between a law and a statute and a precept? Dig into that a little bit. This man has because because he's an attorney and he thinks about statutes, precepts, not statues, statutes. One cool little story here. In the Middle Ages, there was a man. Back in those times, you could be executed for like publicly for like any reason. You know, if the king just said execute him, you were. So there was a man who, get this, shared the same name as a criminal. You ever just wonder if your name, like, how many Michael Lyons are there in the United States? Like, probably, there's probably a few. Imagine somebody got your identity mixed up with another Michael Lyons, and they said, you're going to be executed. That's what happened to this man. Shared the same name as a criminal, so he was going to be executed. He said, I'm not guilty, it's not me, it's someone else. And he pleaded his case, and they checked into it, and they said, we're going to execute you anyway. And they said, we have one last request. And he said, yes, I would like for you to read Psalm 119 publicly. And it takes a little while to do that. So in the time that they were publicly reading Psalm 119, they discovered the error, and his life was spared. Or that just could be a sermon illustration, isn't it? And evidently, it's true. Okay? True story. Let's get out our Google machines and research that, because you won't do that much. believe and know that God, you have worked throughout the generations to put together what we hold in our hands. God, you used men, 40 men, more than 40 men, over 1,600 years to communicate your message to us. God, let us honor your word wholeheartedly. Let us lift up your word today, and God, teach us. Let your spirit teach what you would want us to teach. We believe that you have something to communicate to every one of us this morning. Let us be open to receiving what you would want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're just going to study Psalm 119 together. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Good stuff right here. God has communicated a message that is to be fully obeyed. Now, this is one we all struggle with, because a lot of us can get our minds around understanding the scriptures. Okay, I'm supposed to read the scriptures, then I'm supposed to understand the scriptures, but what God is saying is, once you've read them and you begin to understand them, then you need to learn how to obey them. And this is the one that we all struggle with. But think about the Great Commission. The last thing that Jesus said to people was, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then what? Teach them to obey everything. That's our goal. Not to just go to church, not to be a religious person, but to understand the Word of God personally and to obey. That's where we live, you and I, is struggling to obey. Even the Word itself, obey, conjures up a certain something in your mind and heart right now. Obedience may be a great thing. It may be a word that makes you just do something. You know what I'm saying? Obedience. This is what I struggle with. Expression on my face. Those of you who are parents to be, this is your future. To get your children not only to listen, but to actually do it. That, well, that's the challenge. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Every man here struggles with purity on some level. It is either a hindrance or it is an addiction. It is something that can tear you apart. And God is offering us this promise that if you want to live a pure life, you can do it, and it can be accomplished through His Word. That's good news. How can you do it? You gotta know some word before you can live it, yes? Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wow. How many times have you been in a place of temptation, you're thinking about giving in, you whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden the scripture just, there's that little, what do you call that, a bubble? What? A thought bubble. A Holy Spirit, Word of God, bubble appears. And then you remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you, but what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. A thought bubble. A life-saving Word of God bubble. That's awesome, man. That God is telling us, you can actually take my word and hide it inside of your heart. And that will keep you pure, and that will keep you righteous. And that's what will keep us from sinning against him. Now, here's what we try to do. We try to put all these man-made controls on there. And we talk a lot about accountability partners and things. And amen for accountability. Praise God for someone that you can pick up the phone and go, hey, bro. Titus tells us that it is the grace of God that teaches us the same way. Not man-made rules, and not a guy standing in front and pointing at you and saying things loudly. If you want to live a righteous life, there are no shortcuts. You realize that? We're doing something. That God says there are no shortcuts. You must put in the time. You must, in your own individual life, decide that the Word of God is going to be important to you. And then you will spend time. How much? How much it takes. However much it takes. I was counting up the amount of time. How much time have I spent studying the Bible in my 17 years as a Christian? I don't even know, but I think it's into the thousands now. Like if you just, like 1 hour a week for 17 years is like 1,100 and something hours. So I've done my 1 hour a week. I mean, you just show up on Sunday and you get. But how about the times when you personally invest? And how about the times when you study the Bible with someone else who's not a Christian? You try to help them understand what discipleship is. How many those hours? God is wanting us to add up hours and hours and hours. Who knows who Malcolm Gladwell is? Anybody? He writes business books. He wrote The Tipping Point. You may have heard that. He wrote a book called Outliers. And he determined that people who are really great at the things that they do, excellent musicians, violinists, cellists, sports figures, whoever it is, they've spent thousands of hours. And they actually quantified, they put a number on it. It's something like 8,000. Like, if you want to be the best, if you want to be an elite athlete or an elite musician or an elite whatever, you've got to put in the time. God is telling us right here, you got to put in the time. So I encourage us to be men and women who will put in the time in our own individual lives. Let's keep going. Verse 13, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. With my lips, what's that saying? Well, you memorize it, and you think about it. And as you're driving down the road, and as you're singing, and as you're going about your life, you're thinking about the words of God. This psalm is describing an intimacy with the knowledge of God that we need to grasp and understand and aspire to, that we will recite things. So that when you listen to some guy on the radio, and he's from another denomination, and he's teaching something that disagrees with what you think I say or our church represents, you are mature enough to distinguish God's word from opinion. You are mature enough to distinguish what makes denominations different. We all struggle to find this thing. That's why denominations exist. I don't want to go off on denominations here. I just want to say that men and women have been searching after the truth of God for a long time. And you and I need to put in the same efforts and to be familiar enough with the scriptures to know and to recognize sound doctrine from false doctrine. It's important. It's huge. Do we believe that you could just come down front and say a prayer and become a Christian? There are thousands of churches in our country right now teaching. What's your conviction? Do you become a Christian by saying a prayer? Do you get baptized when you're 7 days a year old? Or 3 years? Or do you get sprinkled? Like, what do you believe? Who cares what men believe? What does God say? That's the kind of standard that we need to hold to. It's quiet. Let's try a joke. If I were to give you a lottery ticket. I read the other day, you know, there's like a $650 million lottery. Like, we're driving to Atlanta, and everybody do that thing. My wife's like, do you think we're going to win the lottery? Probably not. Like, we probably would have won it already. But you look at the $650 million. No. You do that thing where it's like, what if you won? And what, like, what would you do? And like, you do it, come on, no, you don't do it. But we all sort of dream, what would we do if 600, I've come to the conclusion that I probably can't handle $650. I think God probably loves me too much to give me that much. But you still do the thing where it's like, all right, here's what I'm saying. the laws, black people rejoice in riches. We want to be a different church. When people walk in, they see people who love the Word of God, like the world loves riches. Well, that's different. That's going to impact some people. Yeah. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Approaching the Word of God like, I've got a lot to learn here. And God, open my eyes spiritually. You know, Luke 24, when Jesus, he's with his men for 3 years. They see all the miracles. They see everything he ever does. And they still don't quite get it, which gives us all hope. And they spend, literally watched him walk on the water. Literally watched him heal people. And after 3 years of being with him, they still didn't quite get it. That should give you some hope. But what did he do? In Luke 24, it says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Let me explain something to you. Then he explained to them what all the law and the prophets were about. They're all talking about me, is what he said. And so there's this great thing that happens when you walk with Jesus and you open the word. He begins to open your spiritual eyes to see things you've never seen before and to discover new things in the scriptures. I find that incredibly comforting. That you can walk with Jesus for a year, or 5 years, or 55 years, and you're still going to learn new things. That means it doesn't get old. Everything in your life is going to get old. Your Christmas gifts are already old. This, and it really just a placeholder for our desires. What I'm saying is, and what God is telling us, is that the Word doesn't get old if we approach it with this heart of God, open my eyes and teach me new things. At this rate, there's no way we're going to cover all of these things. But the good news is, you can go home and you can do like Chris and Martha will do. Find all the reasons, all the places where I didn't say everything just perfect. I love you, dude. I'm just giving you a hard time. Verse 27, let me understand the teaching of your precepts, and then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 32, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Verse 36, turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Just good stuff here. When I was a kid, I remember seeing Star Wars in the theater. And I remember, it was awesome. I remember the tractor beam. You remember they're at the Death Star and they're like, Hans, do something, the ship is shaking. When they're tractor beam, what's a tractor beam? I'm thinking it's a kid, I'm seven, I'm thinking it's a tractor beam. What is it? What? But this tractor beam of like, and he just shuts it down because he knows you cannot fight against the tractor beam. It's just a great moment in Star Wars. sitting there, my wife walks into the room, what are you doing? I was sitting like, you know, when people meditate, like, you know, cross-legged, I wasn't doing the thing, I was just, sitting, and I was thinking about the words of God, and trying to get myself in a place where I was not thinking about anything else, not my kids, not my wife, not my whatever, and you realize what an incredible challenge that is to devote 100% of your mental faculties to one thing. That's what meditation is. Now, there are 50 meditation groups you can join actually. I mean, they're everywhere. What if we just stilled ourselves and put our screens and our devices down and our hobbies and our friendships and our things and just devoted ourselves to listening to the voice of God? The impact, that's the intimacy that he's describing. I think it's possible to do that actually as we go about our life. You're daydreaming about something anyway. You might as well daydream about the truth of God. In your class, you're daydreaming. Oh my gosh, you're daydreaming. You are daydreaming. Because in the back of our minds have this incredible power to run like 10 apps at a time. You got the wife app and you got your kids app and they're running in the background all the time and they're going in this operating system that God has given us that's our brain, it's phenomenal. Right now you're taking in oxygen and your operating system is snatching the oxygen out of the air so that you can live. Your brain is doing that right now. Along with a thousand other things. Our minds are incredibly powerful. God wants us to meditate. It's running in the background. Your operating system is running all the time. And you as a disciple have the ability to let the word hide in your heart, in your brain, in your mind, and to center you and ground you and keep you sane in this world. That's a great thought to have. Okay. We're on verse 37. I'm going to skip down to verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precept. I want to be free. God is offering freedom, not religion. Freedom. Verse 54. Your decrees are the theme of my song. You ever just make up songs? Drive down the road. Yeah. Like, just sing stuff and like you're what are you singing about? This guy's singing about the decrees of God Almighty. How cool is that? Making up songs. What you singing? Just the word of God. How cool is that? Verse 59. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps toward your statutes. There is where I have thought about the decisions that I am making, and I have turned my steps so I may walk in your direction. That is repentance. We turn it ourselves. Now, I know repentance is metanoia in the Greek, but turning my steps. At midnight, verse 62. What? At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. What are you talking about? Oh my gosh. A lot of us go to sleep at 11 o'clock, so let's translate this to American culture. Let's call it 3 a.m. Because you don't go to bed at 8 when the sun goes down, right? Okay. Some of us do. Whatever your bedtime is, skip ahead about 4.5 hours. Let's call it 3:30. Really inconvenient. Now imagine setting your alarm for 3:30. It goes off and it makes... What's your ringtone? your alarm is, okay? And you get up at 3:30 in the morning just to thank God for how great he is. I'm going to get up in the middle of the night and talk to God about who he is. That's amazing. Verse 71. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Wait, what? You're telling me to go through something like really hard, afflicted is good? Well, according to God, it is. Why? Because you learn that way. The hardest mistakes usually are the best teachers. The biggest, the times you blow it the most is when God wants to step in and teach you the most. It was good for me to be afflicted. Imagine if you can say that about your life and believe it. It was good for me to make that kind of mistake so that God can teach me what was right. That's awesome. Verse 74. Let's talk about friendship. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me. That's awesome. Come on. For I put my hope in your word. Like, all right, what kind of friends do you want? Really, what kind of friends do you want? You want your boys who will be all fired up because you're a party? See, I had a whole lot of friends who like to party with me. And man, we were buddies, man, when alcohol was flowing and other stuff. A lot of us have been there. And those are your friends. Those are your boys. Who do you want to rejoice when they see you? May those who fear the Lord rejoice when they see me. There are godly friendships that we can have. They're so much better than I thought I knew what a friend was until I became a Christian. Then I realized these are just acquaintances that like to party with me. They're not friends. They're not friends. In this room and in the kingdom of God, you can have friends that are really friends, that love you enough to know you and care about you and walk with you through your struggles and believe in you when you blow. Praise God. Don't have friends like that, you probably need to investigate that farther and ask yourself why. Because God's offering friends like that. All right. I like this one, verse 98. I'll get through half, at least half. We're good? Do we need to stretch? Do we need to?
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay.
Verse 98, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders. That's great. You want to be smart, you want to be wise. How many people know old, ignorant people? Because if you do not devote yourself to understanding the things of God, you can be 50 and 60 and 70, and you can be physically old, but not wise. God is offering us this amazing thing that you can have more wisdom than your enemies. Isn't that the place you want to be? Don't you want to be smarter than your enemies? That's what the Word of God will do for you. I have more insight than all my teachers. A guy who will spend more time in the Word will be smarter than people around him and more wise. No, that'll be a guy you want to go to for advice. Because you know he spends time with him. 112. My heart is setting on keeping your commands to the very end. How long do we have to do this? To the end. When is that? God knows. What if you get another 50 years? That's a long time. Can't even get our brain around 50 years. To the end. How long? Till the end. Verse 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. There's this amazing thing that happens. It unfolds. As you get into it deeper, it's like upset. Well, because my friends are struggling and not keeping the word of God. Wow. Okay. Verse 164. 7 times a day. Now, I have a hole in my right here. So, all I know is that 7 times a day, something's going on. Come on, man. Seven. How many times are we going to pray? Now, is that a number? Is God giving us a checklist? Now, listen, how many times are you going to pray a day? As much as you want. Like seven. Well, some days seven is enough. Some days, it's just all. All right, close out verse 174. Think we made it. Yeah. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you. And may your law sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandment. He ends up sort of pleading, you know, God, I wander. I stray. I left up to my own devices. I just sort of wander over here and wander over there. Dude, you're wrong. Here's the guy saying, God, come find me again. Maybe you're in that place. Maybe you really want to do the right thing, but you're drifting. Here's him ending up saying, God, don't let me go. Stay with me, God. Don't give up on me. Come on back, please. Isn't that great? I hope you're encouraged. Teach. together this morning as a family. God, you want us to call each other brother and sister. God, teach us to be able to do that. Teach us to look at the men and women around us who love you, and for those to be the friendships that we cherish the most. God, let us have an impact on people that we live. God, on our campuses, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, everywhere we go, God, let us realize spiritually you call us an ambassador. And God, we thank you for that privilege. Thank you that we can be together. God, we commit this year to you. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. God, no one knows what tomorrow brings. But our hope and our trust and our faith is in you. God, we would pray that you would increase our numbers. God, let us have an impact on those around us. Let us see many more people who will believe and who will repent and who will be baptized. God, you commanded men to go and to make disciples. Let us cherish that purpose. And let us have a great impact on people around us. God, thank you for those of us who are not here, who are mindful of people who are traveling, you know, people who are coming back to be with us. God, we'll be so encouraged to see everyone again, Lord. Thank you for this day to be together. Please be with us as we go along. We walk out these doors. Your word says that your spirit is always going to be with us. Let us walk in step.